¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Father of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Here we go. 7:59, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. I was in the middle of a dog. Dell's got a dog issue.
Yeah,
at home.
I don't have a dog issue. It involved my neighbors, and I tweeted about it. Like, the neighbors on the left side of me, where Granny is, there's a family there. Her kids, her daughter, I believe, and her daughter, that daughter has kids of her own. But they also have a dog who's a true a-hole. Like I was telling you during the break, the dog barks at everyone. They leave it. They let it get off its leash. It's never on the leash. It barks. It takes twos in people's yards. It does everything you would hate from a dog that isn't yours. So it is a true a-hole. And I have neighbors on my right side who have dogs themselves. They're giant dogs. They're the ones who will chew up your fence. So I'm not a fan of those dogs either. But at least I don't have to deal with them outside of that backyard. So that guy has a grandson. He's walking with the dogs and the grandson, and the a-hole dog barks at the grandson, scares the grandson. You can hear the grandson crying. So it starts an argument where the guy with the grandson say, hey, could you keep your dog on the leash or something? It scared my kid, my grandson, so on and so forth. And the lady responds with, your dogs are always out. In fact, I've had to walk your dogs back. She didn't appreciate being attacked for her a-hole dog. Mm-hmm. But the guy was clearly right. Everyone who's in that neighborhood knows that dog's an a-hole because they just know. So it's a fight ensues, a verbal altercation ensues. Shots thrown, and eventually it ends with, you know, the polite F you. Well, have a blessed day. And we all know what that means.
Wait a minute. Who threw a blessed day at the end?
The woman with the a-hole dog.
Oh.
To end the conversation.
But at least she wanted to, at least there was something.
But you can hear the tone. It wasn't have a blessed day.
Are you sure?
Yes, I could hear it. It was go F yourself.
No,
and you know how I know it was a go F yourself? Because 10 minutes later, in her backyard, after the conversation was over, she's still yelling about the guy and his grandson. And you know what? The line that sticks with me is she said, it could have been a teachable moment for the kid. A teachable moment for a three-year-old? Like, the traumatized three-year-old needed a teachable moment?
That we're talking about?
No, it's her daughter about. A teachable moment for a three-year-old? That's what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Like, your dog's an a-hole. It barked at him and scared the kid. And it's a teachable moment?
It could be a teachable moment.
Well,
and you know what? She may have meant it. Have a blessed day.
No, she didn't.
She might have.
That is the Texas way of telling everyone to go F yourself. If you hear that from someone, you know they don't F with you. That's what that was.
I don't know. I know a lot of people that say, have a blessed day.
Let me actually get the real quote. I don't know. What did she say? Have a blessed day. That is not a tone. It wasn't in a tone of, God, peace be with you. Go with
like
God.
Like Jack Easterby would say. Have a blessed day.
Yeah, but Jack believed his own BS, so I actually think he might mean have
he
a blessed day.
He does mean it.
She didn't mean it. It was like, Lee, I'm done with this conversation. It's the only way I can say go F yourself without being rude. But everyone knows what she meant.
Is that what Miles Straw got up and told the Yankees fans when he climbed the wall?
I hope so.
So Orlando Mercado runs into the wall, gets hurt at Yankee Stadium that wasn't the game-winning hit. Or it was the game-winning hit, wasn't it?
Well, they had multiple altercations.
Yeah, they had. Oh, that's right. This was earlier. Mercado goes down. Yankee fans are giving him the business and saying ugly things out there in right field. Miles Straw climbs the wall and is, you know, jawing with Yankee fans out in right center field. The Yankees end up winning the game on a game-winning hit. And as the Indians are leaving the field, the Yankee fans out there in right center are throwing stuff at Miles Straw and Orlando Mercado. And even, and I mean, all this garbage, all this stuff comes flying onto the field. And even Aaron Judge and Stanton had to go out there and just tell them, hey, guys, this is bad. Well, Miles Straw, after the worst, he called them the worst fans on the planet.
I've never seen a guy climb up a fence like to have a discussion with a fan.
Yeah.
I've seen the yelling. We've all seen it. But the fact that he was so pissed that I'm going to climb up this fence that so you can see me face to face was something. Shout out to Miles Straw. Truly an Astro. You don't take crap from Yankee fans.
No, that was the Astro coming out.
Yeah, you don't take crap from Yankee
fans.
He
was like, that's our fam. That's our fam. Miles Straw thinks like, this is fam. This is my fam right here.
Yeah.
And he could have been Astro's fam. But we're okay. We're okay with where we're at in center field right now. Did you see Gerrit Cole's the back of his pants?
Was there substance on it? Why?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Well, oh yeah. Ian Bregman's Wheelbarrow puts out a video, and on the back of Cole's pants, right below his right cheek. And he goes to it all the time.
Yeah, he's wiping it. Yep.
He keeps going to it. And, oh, by the way, he struck out 8, had full command of everything. How convenient and how – is it a coincidence that now all of a sudden, after how horrible he's been, he's got a black mark right under his right cheek. His hand keeps going to it. He keeps pulling it up. Going right to his mouth, going to his cap, and he pitches a gem.
Interesting.
That dude is pine tar, is sticky tack, like the, if he doesn't have it, he can't pitch. He's Superman without his powers.
We thought it was the Strom effect, and Strom gets credit for what he's done for Astros pitching. I don't know how it's going in Arizona so far. But for Gerrit Cole, it appears that he needs a foreign substance to be the dominant force that got him paid.
Without it, it's kryptonite. Here's his box score. Gerrit Cole, 6 2/3, 4 hits, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts, 92 pitches. 6 2/3 with 4 hits. The game before, he didn't get out of the second inning.
Yeah, I was looking at that start. Did he get something like a hangnail? What happened? Why he was 1 2/3, 2 runs, 1 hit, and they pulled him.
5 walks.
Okay, there it is. I'm trying to figure out. I didn't see that part. What happened to him in that one? And all of a sudden, so no one noticed that there's a big mark on the back of his white pants, and no one thought to go, huh, no guardian. That's what they're called now. No guardian thought to themselves, can we take a look? I guess because no one was on second base.
Well, they're still checking gloves and they're checking hands.
But not pants. Apparently not the back of pants.
Apparently not the back of the pants.
I think.
But it is clear on television, every time he throws a pitch, he goes right back there.
Yeah. So that, I think, there needs to be an investigation. I hope there's the results of that investigation come out the same day we finally see the letter.
The letter.
Isn't that, how many days away from that are we now?
Is it a coincidence that he has sucked since Spider Tech, and now that he's got a foreign substance on the back of his pants, he strikes out 9.
Look, I'm not an investigative reporter. I just watch a lot of that stuff on Netflix. I think it's a clear causation.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Touching your pants, and all of a sudden you can't be touched with your stuff. He's a cheater. We know that to be the case.
Oh, no, he's a cheater. Yeah. Tom in downtown says, I learned that Taco Bell's bringing back the Mexican pizza.
Yeah,
is this something that's important?
People love.
I've heard a few people talking about this.
Yeah, I wasn't ever a really big Mexican pizza guy from Taco Bell, but people love that, and it's coming back. Well, good for those people.
Yeah.
Still ain't beating the Whataburger spicy chicken sandwich, though.
Wow.
That's all I'm saying.
Wow. Well, I think Whataburger already made the best sandwich, period.
What do you love?
The patty melt.
You too with that?
Oh, my God, it's good. It's so good.
You're on the hill.
Yeah.
Love the patty melt. I've never had it.
I can only do it once a year.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
What are you guys like, twinsies?
No. I don't do it he does it on his birthday.
Yeah.
But I just can't. It just seems like you put on about 12 pounds.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
I can't do it that much. What about the revelation that the Dolphins plan to trade a second-round pick for Tom Brady.
What about,
and a first-round pick for Sean Payton.
What about the,
first of all,
what about the nonsense that that was going to get it done? A second-rounder for Tom Brady.
Oh, I don't know.
A second-rounder? They're only going to have to give up a second-rounder for Tom Brady?
What about the nonsense of giving up a first-rounder for Sean Payton?
Well, we've seen that happen for coaches before. I don't believe really any of it, particularly the Tom Brady stuff. All of it seems almost nonsensical to me. Bruce Arians was pretty clear, well, before Tom Brady got him fired, that he was only gonna play for the Bucs. We're not trading him.
Right.
So it was they're gonna give up a second round pick and get Tom Brady from the Bucs. That was all it was gonna take until the lawsuit got the Brian Flores
apparently,
lawsuit.
I don't believe
it at all.
So would you like the Dolphins without any picks?
Well, they don't. Well, if they make the Tom Brady, Sean Payton thing, they don't get Tyreek Hill. So it was either one of, I guess. So
which one would you rather have?
I don't like the thought of Tom Brady quarterbacking my team. It's just a AFC East thing. I'd rather not have him. I get how he elevates the roster.
Okay,
I have standards.
You're biting off your nose despite your face. You'd rather have Tua than Tom Brady.
I didn't say that.
That's what you got.
I'd rather not have Tom Brady. Is what I'm saying.
But you prefer.
I would rather win or not with Tua than have to watch Tom Brady in a Dolphin uniform. That's what I'm saying. I don't want Tom Brady quarterback in my team.
I saw somewhere where somebody said, "Hey man, the Dolphins have had a lot of picks recently. Them with no picks, and I'm not so sure that that's a great thing."
Yeah, and Dolphin Twitter got after that guy because the point was they had three first rounders 2 years ago that we're still trying to see if that works. Hasn't worked out so far. Last year, they took Jalen Waddle and Jalen Phillips. That has worked out so far. At some point, that's five first-rounders in two seasons. You know, at some point, all that comes to – you're going to have to pay some of those guys. So maybe it's fine not to have them all. And you know what the Dolphins have? Teron Armstead, when he's healthy, one of the best tackles in the league. You have Tyreek Hill. You have Jalen Waddle on offense.
What do you mean you have to pay him? You're paying
exorbitant
amounts.
Exorbitant amounts to elite players. At some point...
Well, you wouldn't pay them exorbitant amounts if they weren't elite players by the time their rookie deals are up.
At some point, you have to have established players on the roster. And you've had five first-round picks the last two seasons. And the Dolphins, I get it. I'll tell you this. If the Dolphins had a quarterback you believed in, what would you think of them?
I'd like them a lot.
People wouldn't be talking about the draft picks. They'd be going... If Tua was thought of like Joe Burrow...
Right, if you had Tom Brady, I would believe in the Dolphins this year.
Exactly. So if you had an established quarterback, so people wouldn't be talking about draft picks. So I don't even buy into that theory because if you look at that roster where you have a Jalen Waddle, young player, Jalen Phillips, who had like 8.5 sacks last year. Javon Holland was one of the best safeties in the league last year as a second round pick. They hit in the 2021 draft. The 2020 draft is the one that's going to leave all the questions because it involves Tua and a couple other guys who haven't done much. The roster itself is a contending roster if you believe in the quarterback. So it ain't about draft picks. It's about where the quarterback is. So it doesn't matter how many draft picks you have if you don't believe in the quarterback. So I don't buy that. Like if you don't believe in the quarterback, what does it matter how many draft picks you have this year?
Well, right. Or you could get a quarterback.
With this draft?
Yeah. Well, everybody's climbing on that thing too. One of these guys is going to turn out to be a player.
They'll be fine.
One of those guys will be fine. And you know what? Oh, like Mac Jones is so much better than Kenny Pickett.
No.
If he's in the right situation, he's going to win football
Mac
games.
Jones was in a very favorable situation. Great offensive line. They run the football. He's got a good defense. That was perfect for Mac
Trevor
Jones.
Trevor Lawrence was the number one pick, and they're picking first again.
Yeah, because of how bad the situation is.
So So slow down, everybody.
Yeah.
This overreaction to this quarterback draft. Everybody, oh, this is the worst I've ever seen. I got no starters in this. And then, you know what? Two will be taken in the first 15 picks.
Because that's how the quarterback stuff works. But to that tweet, it's like, all right, man. If you compare the Dolphins roster with a lot of the rosters in the league, the one difference is you don't trust the quarterback. If you did, he wouldn't even have made the tweet because everyone would be like, shut up. But the quarterback is the issue, not the number of draft picks in the first round this year. No. And by the way, they have multiple first-rounders next year. So don't worry. The Dolphins have plenty of picks. It'll be fine. You just got to hope you find something in your quarterback. That's all.
I hope that you are facing legal issues right now. But if you are, I've got a law firm for you. It's the Morley Law Firm, Morley, M-O-R-L-E-Y, MorleyLaw.com. and they're great, great guys. And I'm going to tell you this: you've got to have representation. You got to have guys that you can trust. You got to have guys that know what the heck they're doing. And these guys, it's like I'm on the website right now looking at all the stuff that they do, from injury claims to all the criminal activity. If you have any kind of criminal problem whatsoever, if you have immigration problems, if you're trying to get a visa, se habla español, it's not all of this stuff. They're doing it every single day. Labor law, boating accidents, cruise line, oil field accidents, industrial accidents, motorcycle, product, any kind of product, Jones Act, malpractice, whatever it is that you have an issue with. Insurance companies, if you have issues with insurance companies, they're doing this as well. If you're looking for a law firm that is going to help you get through these tough times, you have an issue, whether it was something that you brought on yourself or something that happened to you, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. MorleyLaw.com, M-O-R-L-E-Y, law.com, or call them at 713-839-9955. They got over 80 years of law experience in the office between the four guys. 713-839-9955 or MorleyLaw.com.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What a game yesterday. Astros win it in 10. Jeremy Pena with the home run to win it for your Houston Astros. And, I mean, what the call? We heard the call a little bit earlier. Let's hear from Jeremy Pena and hear from him about hitting the – and how great is it that he started this way? Now, I mean, Carlos Correa, you know he's putting some pressure on himself right now. He's got to live up to that $35 million. He's got to – you know, he's trying to impress a new fan base. He wants to be beloved. He wants to have the possibility of making that big deal. Jeremy Pena came in here, and he had to live up to Carlos Correa, who was one of the fan favorites here, if not the favorite player in the organization, who just walked. And, you know, and he's got to step in that situation and try to win over a fan base. Well, he may have yesterday, and here he is after the game talking about it.
I mean, it was huge. It was a great feeling, and I'm glad we got the dub.
What was it like for you circling the bases? What was going through your mind, or do you even remember?
That was a blur. You know, I kind of ran the bases a little fast, but it was a great moment.
What was it like when you got home, the home plate, and they started the celebration around you?
It was awesome. It was awesome. You know, you want to feel like you contributed to the team, and, you know, like I said, glad we got the dub.
Man, a little words, few words. Few
Berman's words. Like, give me something.
Jimmy, yeah. Come on, a little something.
Yeah.
Come on, Jeremy. He's a rook.
Understood.
He's a rookie. Is this going to be like the Bagwell Biggio era? Of course, Bidge was the best. That's all he do is, you know, you got to tip your cap. Bidge was the best in cliches. There's no question about that. All about the team. Bags was all about the team as well. Bags could give you a little bit more than Bidge would. But it seems like this, you know, Altuve will give you something every once in a while. He's okay. Bregman, meh. Tucker, meh.
Well, we lost the most quotable Astro.
Jose Lima?
No.
Oh. Carlos?
Yes. Yes, not Jose Lima. R.I.P. Carlos was the most quotable Astro, and he's no longer around. I don't think any other Astros are going to be telling people to shut the F up.
That is true.
I think that's gone, which doesn't help people in this business. But, yeah, Jeremy, plus, he's a rook. Do we remember Carlos saying much as a rookie? Like, how many games has Jeremy Pena played? How much is he really going to say? I mean, you got to get comfortable. I don't know his personality, but if he has a bigger personality, you got to start feeling yourself a little bit. And, you know, you start talking. Maybe getting gregarious with the media. Maybe he doesn't trust Mark Berman.
Well, how can you not trust Mark Berman? Everybody trusts Mark Berman.
I don't know.
But that was, by the way, courtesy of Mark Berman and his Twitter feed. We appreciate it.
So at some point, maybe that changes. But right now, it's like, you know, I hit a home run. Happy to win. And let's get to the next game. I'm sure he's got a lot of stuff he's focusing on. Media training may not be big on the priority list right now. He might get there, though.
We'll see. I don't care. As long as he hits home runs, I don't care what he says in the post game. He could say blah, 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 F Del. I don't care.
Why would he say F Del?
Well, because I don't know. Maybe he doesn't trust you.
I mean, I'm not.
I heard this guy on the show in the morning, and I don't trust him. Okay?
Well, I would say he's...
Especially talking baseball, which you hate.
I would say he's right. Don't trust me.
I would say that, too.
I appreciated you text me over the weekend and go, you said a lot of stupid. You were pretty good, except for all that stupid stuff you said. I appreciate that from you over the weekend.
That was about as best. That's the best compliment I could give you.
You said some stupid stuff, but other than that, I was like,
it was okay.
You were okay this morning, other than
the stupid stuff you said.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. No, absolutely. No problem. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Astros with that walk-off win and... Now they're at the Rangers, and that's just a bad, bad baseball.
Do we get to bring out the silver boot?
Silver boot. We're playing for the silver boot.
Do we treat it like a Big Ten trophy where it's in the dugout? If the Rangers take two out of three, they get to run into the dugout and grab it immediately?
No, I don't think
that. Or do we have to wait till the end of the season?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, do they treat it like the axe or
the old oaken axe
or Floyd of Rosedale pig, where you get to run onto the opposing sideline and grab it if you win the series? Do they get to do that?
All right, so
I guess not.
Let me ask you this: you got four games against the Rangers. Tell me what you think of the Rangers starting pitching in this series. You're gonna lead off with Dunning,
who
then Hearn.
Don't know who that is,
and then Otto, and then Perez. Now, Perez.
How many Perez's exist? Which one is that?
There are a bunch of.
Which Perez is this?
This one's Martin.
Okay.
Never heard of him.
No, I don't know.
Sorry.
Who are these guys?
Honestly, you know, you'll know a couple of guys in the lineup, obviously.
Sure.
Because they just picked up Corey Seager. Thank you.
I'm aware of who
Thank
he is.
Thank you. And Semien. Okay.
Yep.
Adolis Garcia was a pain in the ass last year.
I remember that.
He was. Other than that, there's not many guys that'll ring a bell.
I'm sorry. I'm hearing crickets in my own head.
I mean, this team is just so nondescript and just blah, just horrible.
I mean, I don't.
This is a good time to get the Rangers.
I don't mind it.
No.
The Rangers being anonymous. I like it.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it for Texas Rangers baseball. It can't come at a better time. You're coming off the big win. You got a short trip to Dallas, which is nice, to Arlington. You go up there. You play four games. You got Verlander at the end. You got Christian Javier moved into the rotation. For those of you who haven't heard, it's going to go Valdez, Odorizzi, Javier, and Verlander. And then Urquidy and Garcia.
Is this Odorizzi's last... start if he's terrible again?
Well, you're going to have to you need him. You're going to have to keep throwing him through these 34 games, 33 games in 34 days.
Do you have to keep throwing him?
Well, they want to go with a six-man rotation.
Couldn't you just make his game a bullpen game? Like, does he have to start?
I don't think they're going to throw away $12 million.
Well, what if it's best for the team not to start him, which it clearly is right
well,
now?
Well, give him a few more starts. I'm about done with him. He's not any good. He's just not. He just throws everything up there as a meatball. Everything is flat. Doesn't appear to be much up and down.
Remember how upset
and
he was? Remember how upset he was last year?
Well, he did say, I sucked.
Yeah.
But so he gets off to slow start, so maybe he'll be better. I'm not pro Odorizzi. I don't mind if they take him out of the rotation right now. I'm not pro six-man rotation, if you want to know the truth. It seems like it's too much time in between starts. There used to be, Damn, back in my day.
Old school John's about to come out.
No, I mean, four-man rotation. And did you see that stat? Nolan Ryan threw 235 pitches one game?
Yes. And then he didn't.
June 14th, 1974, he threw He threw extra innings, 235 pitches, and he made his next start 4 days later.
Yeah, Augie Garrido saw
and
that.
And he won that.
Yeah, Augie Garrido saw that. I was like, I'm going to do that to college pitchers.
You see that?
Yeah, that's how it gets done.
Oh, it's good enough for Nolan Ryan, but it ain't good enough for you guys?
Yeah. All took right. that to Cal State Fullerton, then to Texas.
And so, you know, I mean, I think you get stronger as you go along, and I'm not sure that it's the best thing in the world, this six-man rotation. I'm just not. But you know what? I can see Major League Baseball going to a six-man rotation. They went to five, and now that's the norm. Now none of those guys go seven innings.
Well, the Astros are kind of proving it. How many teams would be better served pitching six guys? Like, legitimately have six guys you love to throw out there.
Christian Javier is a bona fide starter in Major League Baseball, and nobody else.
Yeah.
And I would highly doubt maybe a couple other teams are that deep, but the Astros are pretty damn deep. They're pretty damn deep.
Not if Odorizzi is going to pitch like he has. I think they're at five, unless Odorizzi changes quickly.
Right. Well, that's a former All-Star. Put some respect on his name.
I am watching what I'm watching.
You are.
He's a former All-Star, sure. Just like Andrew Wiggins is a former All-Star. Andrew Wiggins made the All-Star team this year.
Andrew Wiggins had a good year, yeah.
Not the second half of the year.
Well, he was pretty damn good. Good enough to make the All-Star team. Started, didn't he?
I don't know if he started, but he made the team. He started? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if Andrew Wiggins is old enough to get one of those career lifetime achievement awards because he hasn't done enough, but that's what it felt like. And then Andrew Wiggins missed what would have been maybe the game-sealing dunk yesterday as Denver beat Golden State, which we haven't talked about. But Jake Odorizzi is a former All-Star, sure. Just like Victor Oladipo is a former All-Star. No one thinks he's an All-Star player now.
Big news, Kyle Tucker wore gloves, and then he didn't.
Why did he take the gloves off?
We'll hear from Kyle Tucker on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back. I cannot get enough of this Kyle Schwarber tantrum. If you missed it, I really, 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 and it's sad, but I dislike Angel Hernandez because of his arrogance and how incompetent he is. And it's a shame because he's been a major league umpire, but you know what? You get that job. It used to be for life that you get that job.
Feels like he's tenured and there's no way to get rid of him.
He even sued Major League Baseball because he didn't get any World Series, but he would not get even any postseason games. And he thought it was because it was racially motivated because he's Hispanic.
You stink.
It's on a merit basis.
When people can track the numbers and see how bad you are, it's pretty easy to say why you're not getting, assignments in the biggest games of the year.
He called a strike on a pitch that was 6.47 inches inside. It's the worst call all season long. Kyle Schwarber just went nuts after his at-bat in the bottom of the ninth inning. Went nuts and got thrown out. It was a 1-0 game. Listen. If Angel Hernandez is the umpire of 1-0 games, because a pitcher gets 6 inches off the plate, it's almost impossible for major league hitters to hit like that, inside, outside, up, down. And that's going to be a 1-0 game. It's the guys that have a really tight zone that don't call strikes when they're strikes. That's an 8-7 game, because those guys now are just going to tee off because the pitcher knows he's got to throw it around the plate. If Angel Hernandez is behind the plate and I'm the pitcher, I ain't throwing no strikes. He's going to call him a strike anyway.
There's no need. It's like LeVon Hernandez in the playoffs all those years ago with Eric Gregg, I think it was. Yeah, I'm looking at the reaction. You know, Kyle Schwarber's furious and rightfully so, and Girardi comes out there and it's like, I mean, Girardi's been around a long time. Was Angel Hernandez an umpire when Girardi was playing? Has he been around that long?
Oh, yeah.
So Girardi's probably suffered the same fate and actually benefited from as a catcher. So he's seen both ways, and he's probably just out there.
He knows how bad he is.
Yeah, he's just out there.
It's just so bad, though, to be that horrible. That that horrible at your job. I mean, it's and it have such, you know, an important, I mean, important, it's baseball, it's regular season, it's 162 games, and relatively speaking, what how important is, but we care about, you know what, people care. And so for you know, him to just be ruining game after game after game and not and them not being able to get rid of him. Everton is getting relegated after, what, 71 years?
It's possible. They're currently in the relegation zone, 2 points back of the final safe spot, but they do have a game at hand, which all that means is they have one more game to than the team that they're battling against. But, yeah, they're in a relegation spot, and I love it because it's Lance's favorite team.
Yeah, Everton is about to get relegated. If we had relegation in Major League umpires, Angel Hernandez would never make it back to the big leagues.
Yeah, he'd be in Sugarland right now calling a game.
Oh, I think he'd be on the Corpus or...
You don't think they'd even allow him the calls?
No. He'd keep on going down. He would rate so low at every level that he'd be down maybe double A. Is there even single A? Is there summer league ball or whatever? It's just so bad.
Yeah, because I don't think it would get better going down to a lower league because it's simply your eye. It's not like it'd be any easier. Angel, that's still a strike, and you call it a ball or a ball instead of a strike, which is what he actually does. So you're right. He'd probably be a single A.
Oh, he misses strikes, too. He calls strikes balls, and he calls balls strikes. So yes, he does it all.
So even worse is you can't even as a pitcher depend on him give you the benefit of the doubt. You just don't know, depending on what he feels like that day or what he feels like that at bat.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Kyle Schwarber reacts. Like, if an umpire who's normally good at what he does misses that, you're like, okay, you missed that. But the throwing of the bat and the helmet like that is because it's Angel Hernandez.
Yeah.
And everyone has suffered
because
of him.
It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. He had a call earlier in the game where he was just it was just so bad. And you can't – you just – I remember what was it? I forget. Was it the Robbie Alomar? No, I don't think it was the Robbie Alomar incident. It was, I think, a player threw a bat in a Hispanic league at an umpire.
Mm-hmm.
And Lance Berkman was on the next day, and I asked Lance Berkman, I said, well, I mean, what do you think of that? He goes, well, how bad was the call?
Well, these are things. Like, what did he say? What did he do?
I mean, I was like, you can't say that. He threw the bat at the umpire. So, but how bad was the call?
I mean, was it an actual overreaction, or did he deserve bat thrown at him? He didn't swing it at him. He threw it at him. There's a difference.
Kyle Tucker had his gloves on, and he was swinging his bat. Saturday, 3 hits with the gloves on. Was it Saturday or Friday he had 3 hits with the gloves on? I think it was Saturday. Whatever the case may be, he had 3 hits with the gloves on. Came back, no gloves.
And he explained why he took the gloves off?
Well, I guess he said I had 2 strikeouts. Maybe it was Friday night he had three hits with gloves on. And then Saturday, maybe it was that. And Saturday he struck out a couple of times. So he came out yesterday, no gloves. And here's he's explaining it.
After my second strikeout, I was over it.
Well, maybe he wore the gloves and then took them off. Maybe he wore the gloves yesterday and took them off.
And after the strikeout.
Whatever the case may be. Now, he did talk. He did talk about Jeremy Pena's walk-off.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, that's his first one. You know, he's a great player. I mean, that was a phenomenal moment. I mean, especially since, you know, we haven't been playing our best baseball lately. And for him to win the game like that was awesome, and I'm so happy for him.
Against a pitcher like that who's been on a roll.
Yeah, that's impressive. I mean, you can look at his numbers. Romano's done a phenomenal job, and I mean, he's an impressive pitcher, and that was an impressive swing that he took on him.
That's nice. That is nice.
My response would be, how many strikeouts have you had with the gloves off? You're just going to let 2 shake you of the glove thing?
Yeah, pretty much. 2 strikeouts, he was up. He just doesn't like them.
I know, that's the reason. He doesn't want to wear them.
He can't spit in his hands to rub the dirt.
Oh, that's a shame. He can't spit in his hands.
Well, he's going to have to stop that. I don't know if you saw the pitch clock. The batter's got to be in the box with 9 seconds left on the pitch clock. And there's zero chance that Kyle Tucker is going to be able to be in the box, rub the dirt, spit in his hands, get the bat, wipe his face with his right sleeve, which he does every time. And there's zero chance he's going to be able to do all this on this pitch clock.
We're talking about the Rangers and, like, people don't know him. Well, this kind of happened with the Marlins maybe a week or so ago. Jazz Chisholm, who's one of their young players, people might have heard of him or not. He's a Marlin. There's a chance a lot of people haven't heard of him. The umpire was like, hey, get in the box. I think it was late in the game or so. He's like, get in the box. And then he wasn't in the box yet, and he told the pitcher, go. Go. So the catcher's like, hey, throw the pitch. The pitcher didn't throw the pitch because the pitchers have their routine. He wasn't ready to go. And in the same at bat, he hit a home run. You know, he didn't say anything to the umpire, but you could feel it a little bit like, hey, all right, you rushed me in and look what I did. So I like it, the whole get in a box thing. I wish, but my real point is put the gloves back on, Kyle Tucker. I don't want to watch baseball players with no gloves on.
7378037776. One of the greatest plays ever by a security guard. When we come back next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
Yes. 97.5. This.
Are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you haven't seen Sasha Zamel is the protester that ran on the court during the Grizzlies-Timberwolves game. And was tackled almost immediately. The guard was sitting two seats from her. He knew it. He was watching her. He had a feeling something was going on. So you said somebody had a camera and started filming right away?
Yeah, there was a person sitting next to the protester with her camera phone out. And apparently they were positioned right behind the owner, Glenn Taylor. So she leaped over him and his wife. So maybe that's why there was some extra security there. Because if you don't know the story and why this is going on, Direct Action Everywhere is the group behind the activist campaign. So apparently Glenn Taylor is the owner of a factory egg farm in Iowa called, and it's part of Rembrandt Enterprises. And the group is protesting the killing of mass killing of chickens. Apparently 5.3 million chickens have been killed at Rembrandt. And I think it's due to them getting sick. So this activist group is...
Maybe these activists want everybody to get sick chicken, okay? And everybody dies of salmonella.
Would you
rather have 5.3 million people dying, protesters?
I think you know the answer to that. If you ask them, what do you think they would say?
I've watched this video several times because I just think the referee... And it's everywhere on Twitter if you haven't seen this yet. But, you know, relatively speaking, for a protester... Sasha Zamel
it's an odd ground
I'm just saying that she's protesters generally speaking.
What?
On the hot board are going to be.
Well, I think it all depends. Like if it's like these real protesters from these groups, or is it like protesters who are jumping on like a bandwagon cause? It all depends. Like the hardcore ones.
No, what? No, I don't remember any of that. But I remember seeing her, and I was like, you know what? I mean, he did tackle her a little hard, but
hey, man, he made a play.
He did. He made a great play. The security guard made an unbelievable play. You want to talk about reaction time, form tackle, all of it. Somebody said he took her down too hard, but she was the other protester, right?
Well, multiple people have said that, but one of the people who chimed in said, I don't understand why he treated her that way. She just happened to be one of the protesters from a previous thing in Minnesota. And so people looked at her Twitter account and go, aren't you the person who got arrested like a week ago? So she had to deal with that. But the whole thing is, as I mentioned, is about killing chickens. It was a bird flu at one of the farms. In fact, it had a cost for people as well. They had to lay off 135 workers. So
were they protesting that?
No.
135 workers being laid off?
No.
Bird flu? You no. want this being passed around, idiot protesters?
I think you know the answer. They would say, hey, your practices are the reason those birds got sick to begin with.
What can we do to deter this?
What can you do? What are you going to do?
Maybe she should spend some time in jail.
Well, I don't know how what the rule is about that, but yeah, you put him in jail, but I don't think they care that much. That is they're apparently down for the cause. If you're going to chain yourself to a basket, I would think you're in on
glue yourself
time,
to the floor.
Yeah, lose
what
a layer of skin.
What kind of weirdos are these?
They're trying to make a point.
What's the point?
That Glenn Taylor's an a-hole, apparently, I guess.
Is there anybody out there that's a protester that's listening right now?
I protest this show that when you, I was on the show. No. So, yes, I am a protester. I'm a protester. I worked on the show under protest.
And, David, I don't want to hear from you because I know what yours is. Jackie, I don't want to hear from you and your protesting of this show. I don't want to hear it.
I mean.
Okay. So is there anybody out there that you feel like these people are doing good, or are they just nuts? I'm not a protester. I don't do that.
I know.
I don't boo. I don't even boo at games. I mean, even if the owner was walking on the field to get an award, I wouldn't boo him. I don't know. You know, for killing 5.3 million chickens. Yeah. I wouldn't boo him.
Who's giving him a trophy for killing 5.3
million?
Who knows?
I don't know. What if he got one? Hey, most chickens killed this year.
I think that goes to KFC or something. But, there's a human cost, too, that's not going to be a story because I don't think there are people rolling into Target Center, whatever it's called now, to protest that they had to fire that many people who lost their jobs. I don't particularly agree with it because you're pausing the game. Hey, if you want to hang out in front of the facility before the game, go ahead. But hey, I'm watching playoff basketball. Yeah. Knock it off.
Just as long as you're not, blocking a gate. I'm trying to get in.
If you're not blocking,
can't you do it out in the street with your placards or something?
I wouldn't even mind as long as you did it peacefully. You found Glenn Taylor's house and said, "This is what you're doing." I mean, don't participate in violence. But hey, TNT's got a window. For a game.
Oh, Glenn Taylor has got security that won't let anyone
understood.
Near his
I'm sure,
house.
I'm sure that people might get shot if they got close enough. But I need you to protest in front of his house, not when I'm watching the TNT broadcast.
The last thing I'd ever see you doing?
What?
Is going out and standing in front of some building, marching around, protesting.
I'm not saying
something.
I would do it.
No, and ever, for any cause.
Yeah, there's nothing.
If the world took away spicy chicken sandwiches, you still wouldn't get your placard out there and your stick and walk around. We need chicken sandwiches. We need chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, I mean, I just transitioned like pasta or something. I mean, I ain't got the energy for all that. I mean, yeah, I mean, what's it going to do? If I thought it could do something, yeah, I still wouldn't do it, but I cheer those people on.
Yeah,
did.
Go.
Yeah,
go.
Get it done. I back you.
Thank you.
By supporting you on Twitter or something. But, yeah, I'm not
going
to.
Thank you for doing that, everybody, and getting that changed.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I was fully I can't say it. I was going to say something. I can't say it.
You can't say it? You said you were going to say something?
I was honestly fully in support of some of the protests a couple summers ago. I ain't going out there, though. I ain't going out there.
It's hot out there.
Yeah, it's the summer in Houston. I ain't doing that.
New York Times says Twitter is nearing a deal to sell itself to Elon Musk. People familiar with the situation said an agreement could be announced as soon as today. Do you like Twitter more now that Elon Musk is going to own it, or did you like it before?
Nothing about Twitter is going to change because he owns it. In terms of how I feel about it, I don't care if Elon Musk owns Twitter or has a stake in it, which he does currently.
Well, we know that President Trump will be back on.
Why? Because he will stop getting censored?
Yeah, he's saying he's not going to censor. I think that's what he wants is no censorship.
Great, I guess. I mean, the avenues of Twitter that I go down to censorship isn't an issue because it's mostly sports anyway. So I'm not on political Twitter. So I don't care about any of that anyway. Hey, you say something bad about the Dolphins, I'm there. If you got a problem with the homeless issues, I probably won't see it.
Yeah.
Probably won't see it.
No.
If you have a political issue that you have a problem with, I ain't gonna see it. The people I follow who do tweet about political stuff, I generally mute them anyway.
Yeah.
I don't want to unfollow them because that seems rude.
Yeah.
But I don't have to see it if I don't want to.
Yeah. I follow just a bunch of people that Jack Easterby follows.
Why?
I don't know.
Like Dylan Thompson?
Yeah. I follow Dylan Thompson.
Why?
Because.
Is he still part of the Texans organization?
Yeah, he's still part of the Texans organization. He gives me inspirational messages.
He does?
Yeah.
What's your favorite Dylan Thompson quote?
Oh, I don't know. He quotes a lot of Bible passages.
Thou shalt not.
No, not that thou shalt not.
What?
Passages, that's, those are the commandments.
He doesn't tweet those out occasionally? No.
He does not tweet out every once in a while, thou shalt not.
Thou shalt not covet a starting quarterback? Because we have Davis Mills? Is that one of the things he puts out?
Well, thy neighbor's wife. Don't be coveting.
No, that it wasn't neighbor's
wife. Davis
wives.
Mills. Yeah.
Thou shalt not
covet thy neighbor's wife.
Covet thy neighbor's massage therapist.
Well, you can. Because she's, I don't know.
He's director of team development still.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Right. Right. He's their spirit coach.
Spirit coach.
Their spiritual coach.
Oh.
Yeah.
Even still. Does he lead chapel?
I would imagine. He might. Yeah. I would imagine. Mm. Well, he helps them out if they have problems. Well, you know what? That's what he does.
I hope he's more accurate with his blessings than he was with throwing footballs.
Wow. Ugly, ugly, ugly. He was a fine college quarterback.
Was he? It's simply a request. I'm hoping for him. I'm hoping he's better at that than he was at deciphering defenses. That's all. Deciphering the devil's playground is, I would hope he thrives in that role, because apparently that's his role if chaplain is what he is. I would need an explanation of what team development is. I know what player development is.
No, it's not player development. It's team development. Like, we're all in this together.
Do they do trust falls? Is that what he teaches?
You know, just being a great teammate.
Huh.
Yeah, that's it. And I'm sure there's some spirituality stuff in there.
I got to believe.
David just tweeted us. Here you go, protesters. There are 14, and Sasha Zimmel wins. Okay?
Huh.
This is what protesters look like.
This is grainy footage. You're not sure.
I'm positive.
If like there was an HD version of this, you would find someone.
Listen, from a distance, you can tell. No thanks.
Maybe it's because they're all yelling. You think if
they're all screaming?
I think that's the issue. Like, they're yelling. Maybe they had a profile picture.
This one is going nuts.
Well, they're protesting.
What are they protesting?
I don't know. I have it on mute. I can't. I don't know what they're yelling about.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either. 713-780-3776 is the number, 856. In about 15 minutes, Jeremy Fowler from ESPN is going to join us right here on the show. John and Dell with you here. Back to basketball on the other side. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.